All right, so we'll say let's begin. So we left off today. Today's daf is Yud Zayin, and we left off actually second line in on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I have no exceptionally helpful packets for you today, so I watched the video afterwards. I said, like, oh my gosh, what a waste of time. Okay, in any event, the Gemara says the following. Says the Gemara. Rav Ada b'rei Rav Yitzchak Amar. So I will say, the Gemara is going to continue a little bit still on the same theme. On the at least only for the first couple of lines, until another couple of lines in terms of the seder or the structure of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Ada b'rei Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka Aktsuye Mekatsye. So we'll say the Gemara here is talking about this idea. Hai Lishka, look at Rashi. It'll affect. It's okay. It'll go away. So Gemara says, "Fine. Look at Rashi. It's Rashi in the middle of the wide lines. Rav Ada bar Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishkas Hatiloim Aktsuye Mekatsye. So also we're talking about over here the Lishkas Hatiloim. So if you remember again, we had a machlokes already where the Lishkas Hatiloim is. Lishkas Hatiloim is the chamber where they used to keep the sheep that were used for the Karban Tamid. So we had two different opinions on Tesvav Amud Beis. One was that the Lishkas Hatiloim was in Tzfonis Ma'arabis, was in the northwest, and the other is that it was in the southwest. So the Gemara says the following: Hai Lishka, this Lishkas Hatiloim, Aktsuye Makatsi.
Yeah, I think you turned it on.
So the Lishkas Hatiloim. So I'll see you in 1 second. A little bit of a technical difficulty here. Lishkas Hatiloim. It's not going to work. Thanks. Okay, Hai Lishka Satloim. So we'll say again. Take five. Hai Lishka Satloim. This Lishka of the Tloim Akut, thank you. Aktuye Mekatsye is extended towards both corners. And also what the Gemara now is giving us is an interesting resolution of this machlokes. That it could be that there's not such a machlokes in whether it's in the northwest or the southwest corner. Because up until now we've assumed that where is this Lishka? This Lishka is nestled actually in the corner. The Gemara now suggests that in reality it's not in the corner. But in fact it's extended a little bit more towards the middle of what would be... I'm not going to hold up the Gemara. Actually, I'll hold up the Gemara. It's extended a little bit more on the southern wall. So because it's extended towards the middle of the southern wall, depending on where you're coming from, it could look like it's either in the northwest corner or the southwest corner. So the Gemara says, the Asi Mitzafa on Mischazile Udarim, if you're coming from the north, it has the appearance that the chamber is in the south. Uda Asi Midarim, but if you're coming from the south, Mischazile Mitzafa, it has the appearance that it's coming from the north. Umistabra, however, the Ma'arabis Duromis Havi, but it would appear that in reality it was closer to the southwestern corner. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do we know that? Midraminon Lechem Aponim Alechem Aponim. Because they both say, we have a contradiction as to where the Lishka of the Lechem Haponim was located. If you remember again, the Lishka of the Lechem Haponim, there was the Garmu family who baked the Lechem Haponim. And the Garmu, they had a specific chamber in the Beis HaMikdash itself where the Lechem Haponim was baked. So the Gemara says it has to be that the Lishkas Hatiloim was more towards the southwest corner, because that's the only way that the contradiction regarding the Lechem Haponim would have actually been resolved. What was the contradiction between Lechem HaPanim? We'll say it's Machlokes HaTeen, the Mishnah Maseches Midos, and the Mishnah Maseches Tomid. The Mishnah Maseches Midos has the chamber of the Lechem HaPanim in the southeast of the Beis Hamokad. So the Beis Hamokad was the fire chamber. So again, in Midos, and we'll get into this more a little bit later on, but again, it was in the southeast of the Beis Hamokad, and that's in Maseches Midos, and in Maseches Tomid, it has it in the northeast of the Beis Hamokad. So the Gemara says the following: Umishaninon, and the way we resolve that contradiction is to say, Amra Funabri Rav Yoshua Mar Kachoshiv Derech Yamin Umar Kachoshiv Derech Smol. And the way we resolve the machlokes between the two Mishnayos is to say it's not really a contradiction. Everything depends just on what, on where you're coming from, on your orientation. So one is looking at the layout from going left to right, and the other is looking at the layout as going right to left. So therefore, depending on your orientation, will thereby determine the location of the Lishkas Lechem HaPanim, Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, "I Amrit Bishlama B'Ma'aravis Deromis Havi." So we'll say, if you say that the Lishkas HaTiloim is a little bit more, is really towards the southwestern side, then the Gemara says, "Hainu Dimitaris Lechem HaPanim Alechem HaPanim." Rabbi said the only way that to say, again, just follow these two pieces here. The only way to say that the Lechem HaPanim contradiction between Tumid and Midos can be successfully resolved by saying that one is talking about a left-right orientation, one is talking about a right-left orientation, is to assume that the Lishkas HaTloim is indeed in the southwest corner. But if the Lishkas HaTloim is not in the southwest corner, so the Gemara says, "How do you do Lechem HaPanim? Ella I Amrit." But if you say that indeed the Lishkas HaTloim was really in the northwest corner, then sof mighty rooted the Lechem HaPanim. Then you would have no way to resolve the contradiction between the two Mishnayos regarding Lechem HaPanim. Ela lav shmamina b'ma'aravis duro misavi shmamina. Rather, learn out from here that what? That Lamai said the Lishkas HaTloim must have been in the southwest corner. So we'll say what comes out is the following. What comes out is that Lemaisa, part of our ambiguity, and now this actually makes a lot more sense, because it was always interesting to see how we'd have a machlokes in the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. Although again, it could just have been a structural machlokes, just people remember this is the Beis HaMikdash is no longer here. People are having machlokes as to what was. That's certainly one possibility. But now the Gemara advances another possibility, which is that it wasn't nestled directly in the corner. So because it wasn't nestled directly in the corner, depending ultimately on your orientation in the area, would determine how you would categorize its geographic location. So how it turns out that, interestingly enough, that the two Mishnayos that we quoted earlier from Tumid and from Midos are actually not contradicting each other. One said northwest, one said southwest. In reality, both can be correct, depending on your orientation, but the Lishkas HaTloim was in fact more in the southwest direction, because that's the only way that the location of the Lishka B'Lechem HaPanim would ultimately make sense. So the Gemara says, but one second. So I'll say one of the interesting things that the Gemara said before was it depends in terms of figuring out where the Lishkas of the Lishka B'Lechem HaPanim is. It depends if you're looking from a left-right orientation to a right-left orientation. But the Gemara says, V'ha'amar mar, Kol pinos sha'atapone lo yihu ela derech yomin lemizrach. But we learn also this is Shabbos's daf. We learn on Shabbos that lemaisa, right? When in doubt, go right. When in doubt, go right. And whenever you turn, remember we saw this actually that this has halacha lemaisa ramifications as well. This is why on Ner Chanukah, right? We begin on the right side. We light left to right. This is why when going up for an aliyah, right, we always go up the right side, unless, of course, going left is shorter. Right, you take the shortest derech, but if both drachim are equal, you go to the right. Any time we have in halacha, a right is chashuv. And by the way, interestingly enough, this is true even independent of your personal orientation. See, there are certain things where right is more chashuv, but if I'm a lefty, so I go, so for example, for Kiddush, so again, if you're right-handed, you hold the kos in your right hand. If you're left-handed, you hold the kos in your left hand, because the idea is to hold the kos in the hand for you. That's more chashuv. But there are some things where right is objectively more chashuv. Sinei Chanukah is an example. Ola Latorah is an example. So the Gemara says, why are you telling me about a right-to-left orientation? Why would you ever have a right-to-left orientation? Don't we always say that in general, reckoning things, we should go to the right? To which the Gemara says, so no, we have to understand something. That's true when it comes to the avoda. Aval hocha chushbina ba'almehi. Who? But the Gemara says, no, you have to understand something. When we talk about that, you should go to the right. This is with matters of avoda. This is with actual concrete matters. Here we're just talking about matters of cheshbon, in terms of how you're reckoning the layout of the chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. When reckoning the chambers of the Beis Hamikdash, there's not a din of chashivos. You're not actually doing a ma'isa. And therefore, again, one could reckon it also from the right to left orientation as well. Good. Weiter. Says the Gemara. So I'll say now we go back. So now we're gonna leave this for a little while, although we're going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash again. But we're gonna come back also in Yuma to some more of these types of discussions. But right now the Gemara is going back to reference the Mishnah. So you remember again the Mishnah on Yudalit Amud Aleph spoke about this idea that Kohen Gadol makriv chelik barosh, v'notel chelik barosh. Literally translated, a Kohen Gadol could offer barosh, could go ahead and offer, and now rosh b'pashtus means at the head of the other Kohanim, v'notel chelik barosh, and he could take a portion at the head of the other Kohanim as well. So says the Gemara, what does this mean? Tan Rabbanan, ketzad makriv chelik barosh. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol offers his portion barosh? Amr Ula, Ula says, excuse me, Amar Ola Zu, I'm sorry. Amar Ola Zu Ani Makriv, Mincha Zu Ani Makriv. So what's the example? The example is he comes along and he says, I'm going to be Makriv this Ola. I'm going to be Makriv this Mincha. And I will say, understand the novelty here. We've spoken many times about this idea that Lemaisa, there are 24 Mishmoros. There are 24 shifts of Kohanim. Each Mishmar serves a week at a time. Each mishmar is made up of multiple batei avos, multiple families, and each family or families, depending on how many in the mishmar, are given a particular day. So there's a very regimented order to what's done in the Beis HaMikdash, and it has to be this way because we want to make sure that everybody gets a turn. And remember, it's not just gets a turn. Remember, serving in the Beis HaMikdash is also part of your Kohanic Parnasa. Remember, you get Truma from the Yisrael, you get Truma Smeiser from the Levi. But remember, what you also get is when you serve in the Beis HaMikdash, you get hides. You get hides. Remember, you get although we saw already back in Pesachim that the Kohanim agreed amongst themselves to give their hides to the Beis HaMikdash because there was a lot of fighting about who was going to get what hide. But Lamaisa, again, you get hot, in addition, of course, to getting food. Now, again, that food is essentially part of your room and board when you're on service. But more importantly, you get hides, and the hides could actually be an incredible source of parnosa as well. So the notion that there is a structure, there's an order, is very important. So what the Gemara now is saying is, if the Kohen Gadol comes in one day and he says, sorry, I want to give that olah. I want to give this karban. I want to give that mincha. He has every right to do so. He trumps the order. Ketzad notel, so that's makriv barosh. Ketzad notel chelik barosh, what does it mean that he takes a portion ahead of everyone else? He says, Omer, chatos zu, ani ochel, I'm going to eat from that chatos. And he decides, I'm eating the sacrificial portion of that chatos. Asham ze, ani ochel, I'm going to eat from this asham. So quite literally, he could go in and he could say, I want that piece. I want that piece, okay? The notel, we'll say, now listen to this. Now the Raisi goes on. So the Gemara says, the notel, chala mishte chalos. He could also take one of the two chalos. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, mishte chalos shalatzeras. Shalatzeras. So we'll say, part of the sacrificial service of Shavuos is a process called the shtei alechem. So the shtei alechem was made up of actually multiple loaves, but there are two loaves that were brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Braisa says that the Kohen Gadol could take up to one of the two loaves of Shavuos. Okay, we're going to analyze all these things in just a moment. Arba o chamish b'maisa lechem aponim. And he could also take either four or five loaves of the lechem aponim. Now we'll say lechem aponim is the bread that was arranged on the shulchan. Look at Rashi just a moment. Arba o chamish, yechosh Shabbos Shabbos. I will say, remember, the way lechem aponim works is defined. There are 12 loaves. There are 12 loaves. The 12 loaves are arranged on the shulchan. The loaves were switched out on Shabbos. And what happened was, we're going to see the order in just a little bit, but Lemaisa, the loaves, some of the loaves were given to, well, we'll see what was done with them, but some of the loaves were given to the Mishmar that just finished, and part of them were given to the Mishmar that just started. So now the Gemara, the Braisa says that apparently the Kohen Gadol could take up to four or five loaves of the Lechem HaPanim for himself. We'll see what that number represents in just a moment. Rebbe says, no, Li'olam Chomish. He could really take up to five loaves. Shene Emar, V'hoisa la'aron ulevanov, because the Torah says, it's just v'hoisa la'aron ulevanov va'achlu b'makom kadosh, ki kodesh kadoshim hu lo mi'ishe Hashem chak olam. So listen to this. The Gemara says, and this is the pasuk by Lechem upon him, it will be for Aaron and his sons, mechtsa la'aron u'mechtsa levanov. What does it mean? Vaisali Aaron ulevanov. So Rebbe same Torah is telling you that up to half of lechem apanim could go to Aaron, and up to half of it goes to his sons. So the Gemara says now we'll say how five is half exactly. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. So the Gemara says hagufakasha. Now we have an inherent contradiction. What's the contradiction? Amrit, you said on one hand, notel chala achas mishtei chalos. Now we'll say on one hand you said that when it comes to the shtei alechem of atzeres, of Shavuos, the kohen is permitted to take one of the two loaves. So that's half of the amount. So the Gemara says, mana, money, Rebbe. So that's the opinion of Rebbe. The Amar, palgo shakil. Because I will say, Rebbe's opinion is that the kohen is entitled to take up to half. That's why Rebbe also said that he could take up to half of the lechem apanim. I will say, even though, again, just you'll keep in mind, half of the lechem apanim should be six. Rebbe said he could take five. We'll see where that difference is just a little bit. But the point is, Rebbe's shita is, essentially, that lechem apanim becomes the paradigm. That when the Torah says that, v'haysa la'aron ulevanov, what the Torah is saying is that Aaron could take up to half. So once Aaron could take up to half of lechem apanim, Aaron could take up to half of other things also. Therefore, for the Shavuos offering, he could take one of the two loaves. So that makes sense. So for the first case in the Mishnah, or the first case in the Braisa, that says he could take one challah, is the opinion of Rebbe, who says that a kohen gadol could take half. There are palgos shakil. However, eima mitziyasa, but yet what does the middle case say? Arba o chamish b'maisa lechem apanim. But Rebbe say again, yet the middle statement of the Braisa that says that he could take up to four or five loaves of the lechem upon him. So whose opinion is that? Asan l'rabbanan. That would seem to reflect the view of the rabbanan. What did the rabbanan say? The amri lo shakil palga. Because the rabbi said that the kohen gadol is not permitted to take half. He could take a little bit less than half. Look at Rashi. Asan l'rabbanan. The amri lo shakil palga. The rabbi say he can't take half. The ish shakil palga betzir mechamesh lo shakil. Because if you could say he could take half, then l'maisa he wouldn't take less than five. So we'll say, watch this. Ema Seifa Rebbe, O Rebbe Omer, Li'olam Chamish. And what did Rebbe say in the last case? Rebbe said, no, we can take up to five loaves of the Lechem Aparim. So we'll say, here's what we have. We have three cases in the Braisa. Case number one is the case of Shtei Lechem Avatzeres. And what did the Braisa say? He could take one. He could take one, which is half. Case number two in the Braisa, case number two in the Braisa is Lechem Aparim. And it says what? He could take either four or five loaves, which is less than half. And then Rebbe, now really, when the less than half is the four piece, and then Rebbe who says the last case is directly attributed to Rebbe, and Rebbe says, no, he could take five, which according to some calculation, which we'll see, is half of the lechem aponim. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, the makeup of the price doesn't make sense. Seifa, Reisha of a Seifa Rebbe, or Mitzias Rabbanan, are you telling me then that the first case and the last case are Rebbe? Because remember, the first case is taking half of the shtei alechem, the one loaf, and the last case is obviously Rebbe because the Raisa says it's Rebbe. If taking five loaves of lechem upon him is Rebbe, and the middle case that says you can take four or five loaves of lechem upon him, which is less than half, would be the Rabbanan. Rabbanan will say, as we've said many, many times, we don't like setting up Mishnayos or Braisos like this. It's confusing. It's stylistically confusing to think that there are multiple opinions that are interwoven within one halachic statement. So now again, there, as we've seen already, there are times when, well, it's just the way that it is. So what are you going to do? But Lemaisa, again, when possible to avoid that, we try to. So the Gemara says, are you telling me now that the Reisha and the Seifa of the Braisa are Rebbe, and the middle of the Mitzias is the Rabbanan? Look at Rashi. I will say, Reisha, I'm sorry, not yet. Our Rabbi says, no. Reisha umitzi asa Rabbanan. It could be that the first case and the last case are the Rabbanan as well. The Rabbanan say, even the Shtei Alechem case, and even though it's, the last case is attributed to Rebbe, the Rabbanan would agree in that case as well. Where? Watch this. Umodu Rabbanan de Prusa, de lav orach ara le mitzvah le kohen gadol. And the rabbis agree in a case of a broken loaf where it's not the appropriate thing to give it to the kohen gadol. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Reisha mitzias rabbanan is very interesting. The amri lo shat lepaka. In reality, maybe the first case and last case of the brayso could also reflect the view of the rabbanan. Even though what the rabbanan say, the kohen gadol may not take half. Ella bitzir mi palga. He has to take less than half. Udekanshi lacha chala d'shtelechem d'shakila kula modi rabbanan d'lav. Or so I'm sorry. Udekashila chala d'shtelechem. So we'll say, listen to this. And but how can you say it's rabbanan? Because if rabbanan say you have to take less than half, then how could they allow then how could they allow the Kohen Gadol to take the one loaf of the shtei halechem? To which the Gemara says, modi rabbanan d'lav orech ara. We'll say, what's the case? The case could be where one of the loaves of the Shtei HaLechem broke. So when the loaf breaks, the Rabbanon would say, what? It's not appropriate. You can't give the Kohen Gadol to give a half. Oh, what do you guys have? You don't share over there. And it's not enough. It's not enough to go ahead and give. You can't give him a half. You can't give him a half because the Maaseh again, that's not properly bakavadik of the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, what? Therefore, we'd have to give him a half, the full loaf in that case because the Maaseh again, it's fitting with his kavod. So there, you'd have a situation where what? Where the Kohen Gadol is in fact getting the whole loaf, but not b'shita. Not b'shita. It's not because the Rabbanon really feel that he's entitled to have. He's not really entitled to have. He's really entitled to, now again, what they would give him according to the Rabbanon, then we'd have to see. But Lamaisa, again, you're going to go ahead and you're going to give him the whole loaf because you can't just give him the half. So the Gemara says, top of your ches. Umay arba o chamish Rabbanon. So we'll say, so again, what's the case of arba o chamish according to the Rabbanon? Look at Rashi just a moment. Umay arba o chamish. Mosai arba o mosai chamish. So we'll say again, what's interesting is the following. This verbiage of four or five loaves is strange. Because remember, Rebbe is quite explicit in saying it has to be five, because Rebbe holds half. What do you mean four or five? So listen to this. So the Gemara says, my arba o chamish, l'rabbanon da'amri, nichnas notel sheish, v'yotzel notel sheish, uschar hagafas de'los. So we'll say, again, let's go back here for 1 second. Now, Abaye is trying to explain how l'maisa, the resha and the seifa could go according to the Rabbanon. Essentially, the Gemara answers is that the Rabbanon would agree with Rebbe that the Kohen Gadol could take up to half when you're dealing with broken loaves. When you're dealing with broken loaves, it's not the Orech Ara to give the Kohen Gadol the broken loaf, and therefore you'd ultimately end up giving him more than perhaps he would even normally be entitled to in order to safeguard the covenant of the Kohen Gadol. So now, top of your chasna, I just wanted to say it again. No, it's broken. It's broken. Why would we know we don't
want to give him half?
So you don't give him anything.
So maybe we're saying that we don't want to break one of them in half.
You could say that also. The Gemara says, "The lav orach ar lemifrase." You could give that. You could say that. You could say that to Lamaisa. That's how you come and say Rashi literally that we wouldn't want to break it in half. But again, whether you're breaking it in half or it is a half, the point the Gemara is making is Lamaisa. There's no alternative here. There's no other way to subdivide it. There's no subdivision as opposed to the other cases where you could.
When would there be a case with the Shnei Alechem that you would get less than one? If we say that,
no, that's what he's saying. It wouldn't be a case like that. Correct. That's the Gemara saying. That's what Rebbe's saying. We'll say again. One more time. What Rebbe's saying over here is that Lamaisa, here it's efshar. There's no other way but to give him a whole loaf. Either because what are they going to do? We're going to subdivide the loaf. Are they going to cut it in half? Or again, if Lamaisa half of it, what are you going to do? You're going to give him a shtickle piece of bread. You can't do that. So Lamaisa, because there is no other way, there is no alternative but to give him the entire loaf. So the Gemara says, "Tap of Yudches, umay arba o chamish." And what's the case? What's the case of the four or five loaves? Rabbanan de'amri nichnas notel sheish v'yotzel notel sheish. Also, listen to this. So in the following situation, according to the Rabbanan, we say that to what the group who goes in will take six, and the group who leaves will take six. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rabbanon depligi alei Rabbi Yehuda beperaka cholil, va'omri mishmar hayotzi notel sheish, u'mishmar hanichnas notel sheish. So we'll say, this is according to the Rabbanon now who say that the way we divide up lechem apanim is in the following way, is that the group who comes in will go ahead and take six loaves, and the group who goes out takes six loaves. Okay, so that's technically how it should be divided. I'm looking now in the Gemara. We'll come back and read Rashi in just a moment. Uschar hagafas delasos lo. And then I will say, here's what's interesting. There is one day, that Shabbos day, which is the day when the shifts switch. There is a little bit of a division of responsibilities on that day. How so? that in the that morning we'll call it, let's say, Mishmar 1 and Mishmar 2. So in the Shabbos morning, Mishmar 1 are the ones who open the doors, and Mishmar 2 are the ones who close the doors. Remember, every single day the doors of the Beis HaMikdash had to be open. That was part of the responsibility of the Kohanic Mishmar. So what's interesting is each Mishmar serves 7 days, but in reality, they're only doing 6.5 days of service. Because Lemaisa on Shabbos, which is the changeover day, Lemaisa, they only do the morning work, but not the afternoon work. So what's interesting is, we'll see that there's a man, the Amr, who says that Lemaisa, again, what's wrong?
The week before, they were in the afternoon.
What it's just saying is that Lemaisa, on that switchover day, they don't finish that which they began. That's what it's saying. So the Gemara therefore says that we don't give the incoming group any additional challah because they closed up on that particular day. Meaning, Shabbos is not a full day of service for either Mishmar. The Mishmar that began that day doesn't close out that day. And the Mishmar that closed out, well, so obviously, everything equals out at the end. That's because you have interlapping Mishmoros. The question is how we look at that first day of service. Because the Maisa, again, the incoming Mishmar closes up doors, even though, again, the Mishmar that began the day opened the door. So one might have thought that the incoming Mishmar should get a little bit extra because Lemaisa, they finished off the labor of the outgoing Mishmar, even though, again, it all repeats itself a week later. Lemaisa, again, that's not the case. There are no extra challahs given to the incoming Mishmar. And therefore, again, what do you have? You have 12 challahs to deal with. So the Gemara says, Miflag, therefore you have 12 challahs to divide up. Betzir chada mipalga chamesh shakil. And I will say, therefore, what? I will say, follow this here. According to this approach, and this is the Rabbana, we'll see this in Rashi in a little bit more depth in just a moment. According to Rashi, what's the pool of chalas you have to work with? 12. Why 12? Because the Lamaise, again, nothing is given, no additional chalas are given to the incoming Mishmar because they closed up the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos Kodesh. Therefore, you have 12. Now, again, according to the Rabbanon, the Kohen Gadol is entitled to a little bit less than half. Therefore, Lemaisa, again, half would be 6, less than half would be 5, and therefore 5 is the maximum amount that the Kohen Gadol is entitled to. Remember, we're trying to figure out what portion the Kohen Gadol is entitled to. And the fundamental focus in Rabbi Yudin the Rabbanon is whether or not the Kohen Gadol is entitled to half or a little bit less than half. So according to the Rabbanon, but again, there are multiple variables over here. The one major variable is how you determine the pool of available lechem haponim bread. So again, in the Rabbanon's model, the available pool is 12. It's 12. Half of the 12 is 6. The Rabbanon say, but he's not entitled to half. He's entitled to a little bit less than half. Therefore, the maximum amount of lechem haponim to Kohen Gadol could get would be what? Would be 5 loaves. Now look at Rashi. The Rabbanon, de pligi alei Rabbi Yehuda perak acholim. The Rabbanon argue in Rabbi Yehuda, the Amri, and they say, Mishmar Hayotze Notel Sheish, or Mishmar Hanichnas Notel Sheish. So that, because according to the Rabbanon, they say the incoming Mishmar gets 6 loaves, the outgoing Mishmar gets 6 loaves, Uschar Hagafas Delasos Lo Shakil, and the extra work for closing up the doors, they don't get Mishmar Hanichnas, The Mishmar Hanichnas does not get anything extra for finishing up the work of the Mishmar Hayotzi on Shabbos Kodesh. Nimtzu'u kulan ba'os umachalkos. Therefore, again, the Maisa, they all share evenly in the 12 loaves. The Kohen Gadol cholik im shtehem umishneim asar ba'i miflag. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol's portion would be reckoned as part of the 12. Umechza shalim eno notil b'tzir chada mipalgo chamish shakil. And therefore, because the Kohen Gadol doesn't get to take a full half, he only gets a little bit less than half, he gets 5. Now, I will say, interesting enough, we'll see later on where this idea of getting less than half comes from. Because the Gemara doesn't tell us why that's the position. Half makes sense. Why does half make sense? That seems to be based on the pasuk of the Hoysol li Aron ulevana, which indicates a split between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim. Where the Rabbani get less than half, we're not going to do that in this, we'll do that in the future. So we'll say again. So now just follow with what we have over here. So far, first of all, we have Abaye indicating to us that the Rabbanon will agree that there is a concept of half when do they agree that there's half? When there's no possibility for less than half. For example, Shtei Alechem. That, like as Moshe pointed out, you can't go ahead and divide up a Shtei Alechem, or even if there is, so also this could occur in one of two cases. In either case, number one is, let's say where the Lechem upon him itself, Shtei Alechem broke. If the Shtei Alechem broke, you're not going to give the Kohen Gadol Prusa. It's not right. You're going to give him the whole thing. And even if the Shtei Alechem didn't break it, it's a whole one, you're not going to subdivide that loaf. It doesn't look right. So in that case, it's Eafshar. There's no other way but to give him a full loaf. Even though that's Mechza, the Rabbanu will agree in that case you could do it. Now the Gemara says, there's another. What's the other case? The other case is now that was Shtei Alechem. So we've effectively taken care of Shtei Alechem. And in essence, everybody is on the same page with Shtei Alechem that what? The Kohen Gadol is going to take half. He's going to take one loaf. Although, interestingly enough, we won't call it half. What we'll say is, everybody's going to agree he's going to take one loaf, right? Rebbe will say that's why, because he's entitled to half. Darabana will say why? Because you're not going to, there's no other way. What are you going to give him? Fine. That's what we've taken. Now, we've taken care of Shtei Alechem. Case number two is now Lechem upon him. So the Gemara says, how do we do Lechem upon him? So the Gemara says, it depends. According to Rabbanu, here's how you're going to deal with it. We've got 12 loaves in the pool. 12 loaves in the pool. Here's what we know. 6 go to the incoming Mishmar. 6 go to the outgoing Mishmar, which leaves us a pool. Therefore, Kohen Gadol could take up to half, but less than half. Right? Because I want to say it's up to half minus a little bit. Therefore, half would be 6. Kohen Gadol could only take a little bit less than half, which means he's only entitled to 5 loaves. That's Rabbanu. However, the Gemara goes weiter. The Rabbi Huda de Amar Nichnas Notel Sheva will say, oh, listen to this. Now, Rabbi Huda says that in actuality, the way we divide it up is the following. The incoming shift takes 7 loaves. Why? Bischar Hagafas de Lassos. The Yotze, because they get literally partially rewarded for closing up the doors. The Yotze Notel Chamesh. And ultimately, the outgoing shift takes 5 loaves. Therefore, me eser boi miflag. Also, listen to this. The way Rabbi Huda says is in reality, you only have 10 loaves to work with. Why? Because 2 loaves are taken off the top and given to the incoming Mishmar for closing up the doors on Shabbos Chodesh. We'll say, obviously, you understand, all of this equals out in the end, right? All this, all the Mishmaros end up getting the same. It's just a question of how everything is ultimately distributed. So we're going to take 2 loaves off the top to give to the incoming Mishmar for finishing up the work that was started by the outgoing Mishmar. The outgoing Mishmar opens up the doors on Shabbos morning, and the incoming Mishmar goes in and closes it up. So we're going to take 2 loaves off the top for the schar, for the payment of the incoming Mishmar, which then what? Leaves you with a pool of 10. That 10 is then what? Equally divided up between the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Bitsir Chada Mipalga, Vishakil Arba. I will say Rabbi Huda also holds that Lemaisa, the Kohen Gadol, is only entitled to a little bit less than half. But remember, everybody agrees it's less than half than the divisible pool of Lechem upon him. According to Rabbi Huda, the divisible pool is what? It's 10, because we've taken 2 off the top to give to the incoming shit for finishing up the closing up of the doors on Shabbos Kodesh. Therefore, again, half of the pool would be 5. A little bit less than half would be 4. Take a look at Rashi. Rabbi Huda Damar Nichnas Notel Shtayim Below Machlokas. Below Machlokas. That according to Rabbi Huda, he says the incoming shift takes Lamaisa two loaves off the top. Bischar Shuhu Magif Lemotse Shabbos, the Losos Hazara Bechel. Because Lamaisa, they go ahead and close up the doors of the Azara. And the Chel was, we saw the Chel, yes. What's the Chel? That little area between, again, between the Sarug, right, ultimately in the walls of Beis Hamikdash, excellent. So they close up the doors for the Azara, for the courtyard, as well as for the Chel. The Heichal, excuse me, the Heichal, the Lishkos, Shepaschu Shachris, Mishmar Sheyatzalo. So me eser bo'i miflog, she'in hashtayim bo'os machlokes, kischaram heim. So we'll say, Rabbi, so in essence, interestingly enough, Rabbi Huna and the Rabbanan are agreeing on one basic principle, which is what? That the Kohen Gadol takes a little bit less than half. So where is the fundamental machlokes? The fundamental machlokes really is in the divisible pool. The Rabbanan say, no, the incoming shift doesn't get anything extra for closing up the doors on Shabbos because that's a process that was started by the outgoing shift. Everybody shares the responsibilities equally. Therefore, the divisible pool is 12. A little bit less than half, therefore, is 5 that Kohen Gadol could take. Rabbi Huda says, no, two are taken off the top as payment for the incoming shift, finishing up the work of the outgoing shift. Therefore, the divisible pool is only 10, a little bit less than half. They agree with Rabbanan on that. You only get a little bit less than half, and therefore, Lamaisa 4. So the Gemara says the following. Rava Amar Rava says, Kulu Rabihi. In reality, this entire Braisa could reflect the view of Rabbi Rashi, says, Kulu Rabihi Damar Palgashon. Rabba said, here's what's interesting. So here's what you have. Rebbe is the one who said that the Kohen Gadol could take literally up to half. Up to half. So on one hand, what you have over here is you have Rebbe on one side and Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana on the other side. Because whereas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana argue on what? Whether or not two loaves are taken off the top to give to the incoming shift for closing up the doors that were opened by another shift on Shabbos morning. But both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan agree that the Kohen Gadol could only take a little bit less than half. So it would appear that the fundamental machlokes is Rabbi on one side saying the Kohen Gadol gets exactly half, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan on the other hand saying that no, he gets a little bit less than half. Now Rava says something amazing. Rava says, Kula Rebihi. The truth is, this whole thing could be Rebbe. How could it be Rebbe? Right, Rebbe is the one who says that what? That Lamaisa the Kohen Gadol could what? Take up to half. And Rabbi said, remember, I don't want to choose sides, but Rebbe does bring a pasuk, right? Rebbe so far is the only one who's actually made a compelling argument about this concept of actually taking half.
The price never says six.
I'm sorry?
The
Savar Lo K'Rebbe Yehuda. So watch this. So Ben Sion's saying, good. We asked this before, Rabbi said, that even when Rebbe said half was five. Half was five. Oh, says Rabbi, I'm going to tell you why. Because Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda as well say what? That there are two loaves taken off the top, given to the incoming Mishmar as payment for finishing up the work of the outgoing Mishmar. And therefore, Rabbi said, Rebbe could hold like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the divisible pot of Lechem HaPadim, even though what? He disagrees with the portion of the Kohen Gadol. He disagrees with the entitlement portion of the Kohen Gadol. So Rava says, Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore what? That's why Rebbe in the Braisa says that he could take up to half of Lechem HaPadim. What's half of Lechem HaPadim? Five. Because there are two loaves taken off the top that are given to the incoming Mishmar for the Schara finishing off their work. Ve'ela mai arba. So Gemara says, but here's the problem. The Gemara said, but what is Arba then? Because remember how the Braisa read. The Braisa read, if you go back, the Braisa said, V'notel chala mishtei chalos, Arba o chamish v'ayis alechem upon him. Now, Rav is going to suggest that the entire Braisa can be Rebbe. So if the entire Braisa is going to be Rebbe, so how do you understand the case of four or five? Five I get. What's the case of four? We'll say this is amazing. So my arba, remember, according to Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol is entitled to five. What do you mean four? Watch this. Lokasha, this is fascinating. This is when there's a mishmar that overstays its duration a little bit. Here's when there's not. We'll say, what's the case of a mishmar overstaying? What do they mean? They don't want to go home, right? Well, look, all right, overtime. They're on a clock in a little bit extra. Listen to this. Look at Rashi. The Ella, my arba ha chamish by the mishkalo kasha had the ika mishmar misaki. Listen to this. Pamim sheyom tov cha b'sheni b'shabbos. We'll say there were times when yom tov would fall out on a Monday. Listen to this. There were times when Yom Tov fell out on a Monday. Now, if Yom Tov fell out on a Monday, what would happen? So all of the Mishmoros are on duty on Yom Tov. Everybody works. All Kohanim work on Yom Tov. Shekel Mishmoros Bo Regel. Opam Shemotze Yom Tov Erev Shabbos. V'ha Mishmoros Holchos L'mkoman Be'erev Shabbos. Or I will say sometimes Yom Tov fell out on. And let's say an Erev Shabbos. And what would happen? Matzei Yom Tov was an Erev Shabbos. Yom Tov ends on, let's say, a Thursday night. And the Mishmaros go home. V'yesh Mishmar Shemis Aki Usham Ad Motzei Shabbos. Well, listen to this. So you can have the following situation. Where what? Where Lemaisa, you have a situation where Yom Tov either falls out on Monday or Yom Tov ends on a Thursday night. And what happens? You could have Kohanim that live too far. Let's say if it falls out, if Yom Tov ends on Thursday night, the Kohanim don't have enough time to get home for Shabbos. Or it falls out on Monday, and if what? The Kohanim leave after Shabbos, they're not going to have enough time to get there on for Yom Tov. So essentially, you could have situations of groups of Kohanim who are in the Beis HaMikdash for an additional Shabbos when it's not their shift. So what do you do in such a situation like that? So skip down a little bit. Skip down a little bit. So Rashi says over here, Rashi says, V'hayu, in these cases, hayu kol ha-mishmoros shava b'chiluk lechem ha-manim, shari al-karachon shoen sham, v'ari kishabesh shebesoch ha-regel, chal yom echa lehafzik bein taim u'mofanel, kigon shekal ha-mai b'shabes, or m'ar charei ha-sheshcha b'shem. Let me skip down a little bit. So he says, Einan shavos ala mishmar mis'aki b'shabes, bein shu mishmar echad, bein shu mishmaros harbe, notel shtei chalos, v'ashar mischalkos le-mishmar ha-yotzi, v'nichnas shezmano kavodo se-shabes. Shabbos, I listen to this. Because you can have a situation where Lamaisa, if there is an additional mishmar that is there, they get two chalas from the lechem aponim. Shabbos said, what you can have is you can have a situation where, again, if there's another mishmar that's the Shabbos said, obviously, there has to be a reason. If a bunch of aharim just show up and crash, right? So that's not going to work, right? So that's not, if they're there for a reason, though, right? They're there because, again, Yom Tov just ended, they can't get home, or Yom Tov's going to start, they're not going to get there in time, then Lamaisa, that additional mishmar is entitled to part of the lechem aponim. So watch this. So the Gemara says the following. We're going to play this out. Iika mishmar hamisakev. I will say if there is an additional mishmar, additional group of kohanim that are there, then mishmona ba'i lemiflag. I will say, listen to this. So watch this. So according now, this is Rabbi Yehuda together, right? Rabbi holds what? Kohen Gadol gets up to half. Rabbi Yehuda holds? It's 10. The pool's only 10. Why? Two are taken off the top for the incoming mishmar, for the fact that they have to finish up the work of the outgoing mishmar. Matzei Shabbos are closing up the doors. Now watch this. Now let's make this even more complicated. Now there's another mishmar of Kohanim who are there. Why? Why? They couldn't get back in time. Let's say Yom Tov ended Thursday night, or they have to be there Monday. So what happens? What do we do for them? We take another 12. So watch this. We begin with a pool of 12 lechem aponim, 12 loaves. Two are taken off the top for the incoming mishmar because they're finishing up the work of the outgoing mishmar. Now we're down to 10. Another two are taken off the top. Why? Because of the mishmar that could not get home in time, that's stuck there. Therefore, what? Says Rebbe, we're only dealing with a pool of 8. If you're only dealing with a pool of 8, Rebbe holds what? Kohen Gadol gets half? 4. 4. That's where you can have the case of 4. So he says again, Iika mishmar misakev, mishmar abay le miflag. If you're dealing with a mishmar masakev, you only have a pool of 8. And therefore, again, the shakel arba, the kohen gadol will only get 4. Eleka mishmar masakev. So we'll say, if there's no mishmar masakev, then what? Then the ma'aseh, again, according to Rebbe, who holds a Rabbi Huda, you have a pool of 10, because 2 are taken off the top. And therefore, kohen gadol gets half, which is 5. So the shakel chamesh. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, my Rebbe omer the olam chamesh. Then we'll say, so now we have a kashan Rebbe. But Rebbe in the Brisa said what? The Kohen Gadol always takes 5, but it's not true. The Kohen Gadol doesn't always take 5. If there's a circumstance of a Mishmar HaMisakev, the Kohen Gadol will only take 4, to which the Gemara says, Kasha. You know what? That is a good Kasha. So Rabbi said, what comes out L'maisa is the following. Fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Fundamental machlokes. First of all, let's start with what's not a machlokes. Let's start with Shalom. So what does everybody agree with? Everybody agrees with Shtei Alechem. That seems to be the base everybody agrees with. How much is Kohen Gadol getting from that? One loaf. Right now, again, we'll call it one loaf. According to the Rabbanon, that's half. According to Rebbe, that's half. According to the Rabbanon, there's no other alternative. Fine. Lechem aponim, what are you getting? First off, fundamental machlokes is between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda as to what is the available divisible pool. According to the Rabbanon, the divisible pool is 12, and therefore, again, but the Rabbanon hold kishita sum. The Kohen Gadol does not get half, it gets a little bit less than half, and therefore it'll get 5. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the divisible pool is 10. The Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Rabbanon that the Kohen Gadol gets less than half, and therefore what? And therefore Lamaisa, the Kohen Gadol is going to get 5. 2 are taken off the top for the incoming Mishmar. So what's now Rabbi suggests that the entire thing could be Rebbe. But if it's Rebbe, Rebbe's going to say he always gets 5. What's the case of 4? Mishmar HaMisakev, that there could be a case where there's another unintended Mishmar that's there for that Shabbos. They're going to get their 2 loaves. They're going to get 2 loaves, and therefore the divisible pool is only going to be 8. And that's the case of where, so therefore, in Rebbe's model of where the Kohen Gadol gets a little bit less than half, where the Kohen Gadol gets half, Whichever the Kohen Gadol gets half, there's sometimes it's five, and that's where there's no Mishra Mesach. Because remember, Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, again, you'd get five. But if there's a Mishra Mesach, Lemaisa, again, if there's a Mishra Mesach, the Kohen Gadol would only get four. So we'll say that again. So the fundamental machlokis over here is between number one, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, in terms of what the divisible pool of Lechem upon him is. That's machlokis number one. Machlokis number two is how much does the Kohen Gadol get to take to begin with? Rebbe holds he gets half. Rabbanon holds he goes ahead and gets a little bit less than half. And then ultimately these two things overlap by merging the shidos of the Rabbanon with Rabbi Yehuda. Excuse me, of Rebbe with Rabbi Yehuda.
How big were these
pieces?
The loaves? Now again, it doesn't mean it's a full meal for them.
You know,
again, how large are the loaves themselves? A lot, a lot. Everybody only got a very little bit of left on a morsel.
Yeah, so
more so, but still, that's my bottom.
So, there's 10. When was the Lechem Aponim? Because we're talking, when did they change out the
Shabbos morning?
So we're talking, so it's changed out, and we're talking about what, after the services, they give it out.
That is correct.
The
Kiddush clock.
So
the original Kiddush clock.
If there's 10, then and the Kohen Gadol gets 5. Which one he loses 3? Which one loses 2? He's taking 5, right?
Right. Let me find it. That's my part of the
2.5 and 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said the Kohen Gadol can't get a split. But the incoming group and the Akron group can split the half.
Yeah, because you're already splitting up that bread. You're cutting it up. You're already subdividing that.
Exactly.
Now, just remember, everybody's actually getting much less than half. Right? They're all going to get some type of morsel from that bread. So they're already subdividing it up. So, yes, that's not a problem.
Isn't the statement of Rebbe's